Hey, what's up, everybody? My name's MJ, and you're listening to the MTG in Quarantine podcast. As usual, I'd like to give a quick shout-out to my local game store, Guardian Games. You can find Guardian Games on the web at ggportland.com. Today's episode is an episode of the Lightning Build series, where I invite people from around the Magic the Gathering community to come on the podcast and build a commander deck on the spot from a commander that I have randomly selected from throughout Magic's history to have them try to build at least a conceptual shell live for you, with the caveat that they have absolutely no idea what commander I have picked for them before right now. So again, they have zero idea what they're going to get until I reveal it to them here in a moment. And again, I wanted to add the extra caveat in that I have tried to choose as many of these commanders on this list that I have curated of commanders that don't really necessarily fall into any one category. So again, in my last episode, I did talk about Marwyn the Nurturer, for instance, with Elf Tribal from Dominaria. We are not going to be seeing any very tribal synergistic commanders like that that really only support, let's say, one, maybe two ways. So I've found a list of creatures that can hopefully curate three, four more different strategies and just really see what my guests can come up with off the top of their heads without any preparation. It's the ultimate lightning round, and let's get into it. So I am going to be reintroducing my very good friend, Coach J-Row.
Honored to be a frequent collaborator.
Yep. All right, you ready to get into this?
Absolutely. I am also known as the Unsummoned Skull, so hopefully I'll come up with some interesting unsummon effects and ways to use them.
Oh, definitely. I think you'll enjoy this one. So the challenge for you, J-Row, today is to build a commander deck in the next 10 to 15 minutes or so around a certain rare card from the Invasion block. And that creature, I think you'll like, is Blind Seer.
Now, I actually have a Blind Seer deck.
I knew you would, I wanted to bring this up as a challenge because I actually got a chance to play against a Blind Seer deck when I was on the Neon City PD stream a couple of days ago. Brad over there has a Blind Seer deck. Didn't really get to see it do its thing because we all died very quickly. But for anyone who doesn't know about what Blind Seer does, Blind Seer is a legendary creature. The 3/3 stats, cost 2 blue, and reads... has an ability, you pay 1 and a blue, and target spell or permanent becomes the color of your choice until end of turn. And it has a nice little bit of flavor text from Gerard, obviously, if you're into the lore. But anyway, J-Row, since obviously you've built this before, take it away. How would you build a Blind Seer deck just, you know, off the cuff in the next, like, 10, 15?
One other thing to note about him, but in terms of the lore, is that Blind Seer, I believe, is Urza in disguise.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. I haven't really had a chance to get back into the lore, but yeah, it's definitely something that keeps me playing the game.
So, in the previous version that I had built, it actually wound up being too strong, and I haven't played it in a long time, because what I did with it was I put the elemental swords into it, and then basically would just change the colors on the swords. I did have other win cons in there. My favorite, I'll start off with some win cons in there. So one of them was Psychic Allergy. Psychic Allergy is another one of those old-school, unusual cards. So Psychic Allergy enters the battlefield, choose a color, and of course you can change the colors with Urza. At the beginning of each opponent's upkeep, Psychic Allergy deals X damage to that player, where X is the number of non-token permanents of the chosen color they control. So, Alf deck going nuts, choose green, they kill themselves. The downside is, at the beginning of your upkeep, destroy Psychic Allergy unless you sacrifice 2 islands. So over time, it's going to hurt you. But you don't play Psychic Allergy until you're pretty sure that you can finish them off. So that would be one thing that I would put in. Right. But I think that's also kind of an obvious way to build around them.
Seems like a pretty devastating win condition right there. If you can pull it out at the right time, it doesn't get countered or removed or anything.
So I'd be looking to build this a little bit different. So first thing I would note is that his ability requires a colorless and a blue to activate. He himself requires 4 mana to cast. So that's at least 6 mana investment before you get anything out of it. And the thing you get out of it isn't necessarily all that strong. So, this is a deck that's going to require mana. Now, there's another commander that has come out recently that works really, really well with him. And if you try to go too far down a certain route with Blindseer, you're just going to wind up making a bad deck of this, which is Orvar. And Orvar uses some of the same cards as Blindseer. So, for example, Orvar uses a card that with buyback that changes the color of a permanent. You use that when Orvar is out with a cost reduction effect and a Gilded Lotus, and you can make infinite Gilded Lotuses and stuff like that. So if you're trying to go that route, you're just going to be a bad Orvar deck. And Orvar in the 99 for Blindseer, the cool thing about going that route would be that it's kind of like a hidden commander. And some people like to play those so that they can avoid the hate that the commander brings out. Like, if you see Orvar, you know what somebody's doing with it. But if you see Blindseer, you might not. And isn't that kind of the flavor of the card? Commander's blind, but they know something you don't?
Very flavorful.
So that's one way to build it, is to go the Orvar as a hidden commander route. Because if you play Blindseer as it is, people will not want to play with you. So I would look into removal next, because honestly, the win con is kind of hard to figure out. So one of the things I might do is, there was a mono blue heroic deck that I tried to play in Theros Limited that actually was okay. So it's possible that a mono-blue heroic deck could wind up being cool. But if I'm going to go to removal, then I would want to look up things that trigger when they are targeted, or when creatures are targeted. So when a creature becomes the target of a spell, ability doesn't matter as much. We're looking for blue cards, colorless cards, because that's all you can include.
I mean, one of the cards that's going to be in here is going to obviously be Cowardice, which when a creature becomes a target of a spell or ability, it's returned to its owner's hand.
Yeah, that would be the dominant unsummon effect. I would also look to something like Willbreaker. Willbreaker just nabs it. I mean, it's one thing to return it to their hand. It's another thing to just nab it. Willbreaker becomes a win con. I'm not even sure if you really call Willbreaker a spot removal effect at that point. It's just a win con. Dismiss into Dream is another one. Each creature your opponent controls is an illusion and has, when this creature becomes the target of a spell or ability, sacrifice it. So now those effects that you're using suddenly kill stuff. You could use Cephalid Illusionist. So that might be an interesting one in terms of winning with, say, Jace or Thassa's Oracle. Because Cephalid Illusionist, when it becomes a target of a spell or ability, mill three cards. And you can always build in the Cephalid Illusionist and Cephalid Illusionist with Lightning Greaves. Or with Shuko. Because those both have equip costs of zero. And so you can just target it that many times and just mill yourself out. And then play Jace or Thassa's Oracle and win on the spot. Those are a few different interesting cards in there that can help work towards win cons. It's just opponent controls. Yeah, you just got to be careful with some cards in terms of whether it's actually working with what you're trying to do. Because he can change the color so it becomes the target of an ability. And so, there's a few different synergies I'd be looking into. So mana would be a big one. I'd be looking for, if I'm going to build this as Orvar Hidden Commander, I would want to have mana rocks that produce at least 3 mana when tapped. Some of them could be less in order to get things going, but I would want to have part of that game-ending engine be mana rocks that produce 3 or more. So Gilded Lotus, there's the there's the mana rock that produces equal to the devotion that you have, the Nyx Lotus, I believe, if I recall correctly.
Yep, Nyx Lotus is the one, yeah, the worth of the devotion. Comes in tap, though, so if that may be one issue with that.
Yeah, you can always put in the amulet.
Yep, amulet of vigor, make sure everything comes in untapped.
Yep, that is a possibility. Otherwise, it's a slow combo, but it's still a combo.
You can always run, like, Voltaic Key or Manifold Key or something, too, if you want.
Yeah. If you're going to go all in on the combo like that, yeah, that could be a cool way to do it. So you'd want mana that can work like that. You'd want spot removal and ways to turn that spot removal into additional damage. Since this is a deck that would not be creating a huge board state, I would be looking for mass removal that doesn't hit your own stuff, like Washout. To Washout, what it does is one of my favorite unsummon effects, because it bounces everything that isn't of the color that that's of the color that you chose. Usually two players will have a color in common, or one player will be really dominant and will have a lot of permanents of the same color. Washout is not just creatures, it's all permanents or non-land permanents of the chosen color. You can also change the color if you need to, in case something comes up that is an issue. So that's another example of some hidden synergy with the commander that you might not have thought of. So that's another way of messing with things, especially if you needed to resolve. So let's say there's a blue player at the table, and you're trying to get the Washout to resolve, and you're not sure if it's going to. You could always Washout for a different color and then try to change the color with your commander, because that's not something that's as easy to counter. So they let the Washout resolve, or they pass priority on the Washout. And then before it resolves, you retain the priority and change the color. That is an interesting little interaction that can happen. So I'd be looking to things like Washout, to other mass bounce effects that have to do with the amount of islands you control, because you're going to have a lot of islands because of how you're building it. In terms of mana, because this is a mana-hungry deck that would have a couple big turns, I'd be looking to cards that can dramatically increase your mana, like High Tide. Could also, in addition to working with High Tide, it also works with a number of other cards. So another card that I would really highly consider is Isochron Scepter. Although one of the things that made that deck a little bit too powerful was having the High Tide Scepter, or having the Scepter Dramatic Reversal combo. Because basically, if you have if you can make the mana to activate the Isochron Scepter with artifacts or not, basically non-land permanents, you can go infinite, and that might be a little bit too powerful for your pot. But you're already playing with Orvar as a hidden commander, so that's already really powerful. So my first thought with Blind Seer would be Hidden Commander. Second thought would be Burn. Mono Blue Burn.
Okay, definitely tell us more about this.
So Mono Blue Burn would be going all in on that Psychic Allergy win con. And a couple of other things. So I have a Simic Burn deck that specializes in bouncing things, burning because they ruin, and ultimately dealing damage equal to the number of cards in their hand. This wouldn't have access to all the Stormseeker effects, but really Stormseeker was a card. I still had things like Black Vise, like, Vise Ling could be a card in there as well. I could probably build my Simic Burn deck as a mono blue burn deck. make it a little bit more streamlined. And honestly, that would be very much my style. It'd be a Spellslinger deck. There would be the question of whether this commander would, or whether Blind Seer would be the right commander for it, but there's certainly plenty of good that can come of it. So, you'd still have Cowardice as a way to bounce things, because you'd want to bounce as much as you can. You'd still get those intricate little tricks, like being able to change the color of change the color of something, like in response to a sword being activated. So I want to give my creature the Sword of Feast and Famine. Okay, well now the Sword of Feast of Famine is green. Creature has pro green, the sword's green, it falls off. Just little interesting little things like that. So if I was going to build that way, it's not as mana hungry, so I would want my mana rocks to be smaller. I might also want to play some, or a couple of creatures that have decent sized toughness, such as Vidalion Arcanist, which is a 1/3 that can tap for a colorless, but can only be used on instants and sorceries. So that way you have a little bit of a road bump on the way to your life total. My spot removal would be unsummon effects, because I'd want to have as many of them as I can. I would also play some cards that are able to change the colors of spells, because those turn into spot removal when combined with things like Cowardice. In terms of mass removal, I would want to play, because this is another deck that isn't playing, that isn't going to have a big board state, I would have at least 10 of them. At least 10 evacuation style effects. Because it's part of the win con, I might even suggest going up to 15. And there are a lot of return all in mono blue.
Yeah, so definitely sounds like you have, obviously your favorite card type is being unsummoned. It sounds like you've got a whole lot of ways to be able to utilize that, plus Blind Seer's ability to not only be able to utilize offensively, but also defensively. And I think that's, at least for me, that's a big deal. The fact you have that modality, the fact you have the ability to be able to utilize that effect in all phases of the game. I know, J-Rose, since you're a football coach, or you've been a football coach in the past, the fact that you kind of check all the boxes, you have that offense, defense, special teams thing every phase of the game, it feels the same way there with these builds you've just mentioned, is that you're checking off all those boxes, you're making sure you can get to your primary win cons, but you're also able to find other ways to get around people's threats without just, you know, counterspell, hard counterspell. It's definitely the kind of deck I knew you were going to have a really good insight in on, and I think you really really exceed even my expectations, so thank you.
Absolutely, that's my honor.
All right, so my name is MJ. You've been listening to the MTG in Quarantine podcast. You can find me on Twitter at MTG in Quarantine. You can also find the other Lightning Build podcast episodes like this, as well as the entire back catalog of my podcast on Spotify, Apple, Google, and many other podcast outlets. And J-Ro, where again can people find your content online?
So my Twitter is @coach_J_R. Actually, just passed 700 followers today. I also have a Twitch where I stream Monday through Thursday. At 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, same school time, same school channel. And that channel happens to be twitch.tv/unsummonskull. And then I have a Discord server called the Skull Symbol, which is an engaging, affable, growing community.
Yep, and you've got mono-colored Mondays on there, where everyone tries to bring a deck of the same mono-color. Tuesday's Open Play, Wednesday Oathbreaker, and Thursday Bubblegum Magic, where I believe every card in every deck except for the commander is less than a quarter, less than 25 cents.
That is the stipulation for that. I am also working on getting a podcast going, which is going to be the Quote of Arms podcast. Still working on getting episodes out for that, but that is already on Spotify and Anchor.
All right, sounds good. So definitely make sure, if you're listening to this episode, check out J-Ro on his content, as well as his guest spots on some of my other content, including the White is Good Actually series, where we talk about all things Mono White, with our very good friend Mono White Border as well, talking about all things Mono White, card draw, card advantage, just set reviews, things like that. It's a great time with some great people, and definitely check those out. So, again, my name's MJ. Been listening to the MTG in Quarantine podcast. Have a great rest of your day, everybody.